Oh, man. Oh, Stan. Wow. Jay, I dozed off there a minute. And I had the a terrible, terrible nightmare. I dreamed I was in Starkville, Mississippi, of all places, surrounded by just thousands of crazed lunatics with these cowbells, man. Just more and more cowbells. It was horrible.
The following is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle. This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
Can you help me? I think I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Real Auburn fans bleed orange and blue. What about you? And now, your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb for AUFans.com.
Welcome, and War Eagle, everybody. I am your host, Stan Stevens.
And I'm Jay Webb, and this is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, War Eagle.
War Eagle. Well, Jay, this show obviously is not going to be quite as maybe as uplifting and as fun as the previous.
Yeah,
we suffered our first defeat of the 2014 campaign at the hands of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, again from Starkville, Mississippi, a cowbell infested
man.
Starkville, Mississippi, Jay, and
even in the rain,
and in the rain, and you know, speaking of the rain, I'm hoping that we bounce back like we did last year after a defeat, our first defeat of the season against LSU in the rain. But we'll get a little bit to that in a little bit, but. So we went into Mississippi State into Starkville with high hopes. We had, you know, by most reports, we've been having some good practices. Auburn having been into a lot more of the big games than Mississippi State. We felt pretty confident that the surroundings and so forth, the distractions, wouldn't affect Auburn maybe as much as they would Mississippi State. But to their credit, Jay. They came out and was ready to play from an opening whistle. Now, you know, Auburn won the toss. They elected to defer to the second half. So we played defense, and we came out, and we held them right off the bat. Got the football back, and then Jay on our first offensive play of the game. A deflected Nick Marshall pass out in the flat and intercepted. Mississippi State had a short field. But again, not only, you know, I think a lot's been made about those the early plays and those early turnovers, but we get them 3rd and 11. I mean, you know, after turning the ball over and we blitzed on 3rd down. Dak Prescott made a big throw to his big receiver, you know, DeRunyon Wilson. And, of course, Jonathan Mincy missed the tackle, and he goes like 30-some-odd yards for the touchdown. Oh, yeah. So, even, you know, offensively, yeah, that was obviously a bad start, a turnover on the first play. But, again, defensively, 3rd and 11 – just the week before, we had caused LSU to go 0-for-13 on 3rd downs. This first 3rd down of the game, which was 3rd and 11, 3rd and long, and we got a chance right there to get essentially, you know, make that first turnover null and void, and they get 6 points. So, there was enough blame to go around. Well, we get the ensuing kickoff, and again on 1st down, you know, Nick rolls kind of to his left. He hits. Duke Williams coming across, great throw right in the middle of, you know, right in his breadbasket. He takes a couple steps, step and a half, and is hit pretty hard and coughs up the ball. And, again, Mississippi State recovers. So, Jay, 2 plays, 2 turnovers. Now, you know, as we've mentioned in some earlier shows, I've been following Auburn football a long time. I don't remember the last time we started a game with the first 2 plays were turnovers.
Yeah, rough way to go.
Yes. So you're down 14, 14-0. Well, Jay, the next series, it wasn't technically a turnover, but we have a long pass play to Sammy Coates. Well, Sean Coleman, our left tackle, gets called for holding.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden we go from having like a 60-yard whatever gain it was to, 10-yard back. We were back on our end. We had to punt. And again, Mississippi State scores. It's 21-0 in the first quarter. And
whoa.
I mean, yeah. People are just. I think all Auburn people everywhere was. You're kind of shell shocked. You know.
Yeah. Well, it definitely would take the wind out of your sail. You know what I mean? I mean, just on an emotional level.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's,
momentum was definitely in Mississippi State's.
Oh, and the cowbells. At this point. I mean, it was already deafening, but
yeah.
We
were hoping to take them out. Get rid of the cowbells in the first quarter.
That's right.
Not have to worry about it.
Well, that's
there
right.
We were,
we were
having to deal with all that noise.
I know, and really, that was. I mean, obviously, it's always a game plan to try to start out fast, but certainly, when you play on the road, Jay, getting up 7 points. If we could have had some. We could have really. Quieted the crowd a whole lot more than what we did. About couldn't have Mississippi State couldn't have scripted a better beginning for them. Now, to our credit, though, Auburn starting in the second quarter started sort of chipping away. We started moving the ball a little bit, but again, before all the miscues were kind of out of our system, or at least out of our system for a while, we get down there and we miss a chip shot field goal.
Oh, yeah.
I think you had said something about, this guy doesn't miss.
Yeah. I must have jinxed him because I was just saying, this guy never misses. We got this.
And then
he misses. Oh.
Yeah, it was. Wow. So.
That was rough.
That
doesn't mean he's still obviously a great kicker.
Well, and he went up.
And he proved himself.
That's right.
That's
right. He went ahead and kicked three more field goals.
Yeah.
But now, even in that, though, Jay, there was a little bit of a problem with that. Auburn's red zone offense Saturday, for whatever reason, we were getting the ball down there. We're getting it inside the 10, and we just couldn't come up with an answer. We tried at least one trick play. There was another drive where we kind of handed off right up the middle a couple of times to Cameron Artis Payne. And, I'm not going to question – arguably the greatest play caller in Auburn history, Coach Malzahn and Coach Lashley. But for whatever reason, it didn't work. And we settled for field goals. And so, Jay, starting in the second half, we received the second half kickoff. And right out of the gate, we have a huge pass play to Sammy Coates. And he was called for offensive interference. Now, again, not trying to be too big of an Auburn homer. He kind of moved the guy's arm away from his arm. They both had, kind of were doing some hand slapping in there.
Yeah.
And but honestly, Jay, if that's offensive pass interference, you almost call offensive interference on every pass play nearly. That was really a ticky-tacky little touch foul. But, they called it. You got to live with it. So, but that was a play that went to about the 5-yard line. So, at that point it was 28-13. You get on the 5, perhaps, you do go in, score there, make it 28-20 with, almost the whole third quarter. Still ahead of you, so that was a huge play, and then we had some calls, defensive interference. So all the way around, Jay, we had penalties. Our red zone offense was not what it had been. Our third down defense got better as the game went on, but unfortunately, early in the first half, Mississippi State was they were like 8-for-10 or whatever it was. When it really would have counted, when we could have possibly defensively, we could have picked up the miscues that the offense was making, and for whatever reason we didn't. Give credit to Mississippi State. They made plays. Dak Prescott is good and he's got good receivers, that that Robinson kid's a good running back. They got a huge offensive line. I mean, they're going to give anybody trouble that they play. This is there's a lot of seniors on this team, Jay. I mean, this may be Mississippi State's greatest chance ever, or certainly it has been. To they're now number one.
Yeah.
And so at least in AP and I guess coaches poll, which I might add, neither of those polls, really make any difference. I mean, there's going to be the committee of 13 will have their poll coming out soon. I forget when it is. Later, I think it's later in October that their poll will come out with their and everybody will be looking at the top four. But
okay.
But I mean, I'm sure it'll be close. It'll mirror somewhat what the coaches and the sports writers think. But so anyway, it was a very frustrating, frustrating day. Auburn kept getting. I mean, even though they had gotten down 21-0, Jay. I mean, it was we got it to 28-20. Again, we have a fumble on the kickoff. I had just talked about Alabama the week before. I mean, you just cannot make, those kind of mistakes. Again, very questionable call. I mean, it looked to me like Ricardo Lewis had cradled the ball against his helmet, and when his head and the football against his helmet hit the ground, it came loose. But it was close, and it was closer than it should have been. Again, you're on the road in the SEC. Sometimes you don't get every call that maybe you think you should. So
yeah, there you go.
Auburn just did not play, and again, I give Mississippi State a lot of credit. They've got an outstanding football team against against a team that's not nearly as good. Sometimes you can overcome those kind of things. You're playing somebody as good as State, and you end up on the short end of 38, to 23.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was pretty much how the game turned out. Now. There were some encouraging things about it, Jay, and I would just tell, our listeners. I mean, I've been following Auburn a long time, watch a lot of football. I mean, this is still a team that's got a lot of talent. Now,
yeah.
I think there's some areas of concern that hopefully they're, and I'm sure knowing Coach Malzahn, they are addressing. I think losing maybe the big three, I would call them. Greg Robinson, who went early in the draft. We've talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
In the season. Losing Jay Prosh, the big fullback. And maybe of all the losses and of all the losses that you can, you can't really put your finger on. I mean, Jay Prosh was such an incredible blocker in that run game.
Yeah.
That's more than anything the one guy we're missing to make that running game go like it was going. And also, Alex Kozan, who was a starting left guard next to Robinson, got injured in the preseason. We are not – and our offensive line's playing – it's playing decent. We're not giving up a ton of sacks. We've got the running game at times going, but it's not quite – where it was certainly at the end of the season last year. Now, again, we came out of last year's open date after the LSU game smoking, Jay. And, I'm looking for, a good performance against South Carolina in a couple of weeks. And hopefully we'll work some things out. I know there's been a lot of talk and concern about Nick Marshall getting balls tipped and batted. And he obviously has had more of that this year than last year. But, I heard Coach Malzahn and Coach Lashley talk about, maybe doing a few things. They've already tried to work on a few things in that regard. So,
yeah.
A lot of things to get cleaned up, but there's a lot of potential with this team. The defense,
sure.
I mean, the defense is still overall playing better than this time last year or almost any time last year.
Yeah.
We've had a few, Sammy Coates, I think once he continues to improve health-wise, and Duke Williams still had a huge game Saturday.
No, I thought so.
I mean, two touchdowns and he had that one fumble, which hurt. But, then again, he made up for, a lot of it, the rest of the game. So,
yeah.
I think you're going to start seeing maybe more Rock Thomas. He's that true freshman five-star running back that looked pretty explosive in there, the plays he was in Saturday. I would look for maybe even Peyton Barber. He's a redshirt freshman that got a lot of love during spring training. He kind of had a high ankle sprain, and we've seen just a few plays out of him. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some shake up in terms of. I mean, Cameron Artis Payne is still, Jay, playing great football. I know a lot of people are concerned that he's not Trey Mason or maybe not. But I mean, if you look at his numbers, I mean, he's on pace to have well over 1,000 yards rushing, and I mean, he's solid. Yeah. So I do think you're going to see some situations where maybe you get Rock Thomas and Cameron in the game at the same time. Maybe Corey Grant gets a few more carries. We saw more out of, I think, Corey Grant last year than we have so far this year, and that concerns some people. So got a week off, Jay, and so we're going to see what they do. Between now and the South Carolina game, that's going to be big. All right, Jay, the sound of those crows segues me into looking around the conference this past weekend.
What about it?
A lot of crow to eat this week, Jay. Mr. Know-it-all SEC boy here has, let's just kind of go through it. Now, I did pick the Alabama Crimson Tide over Arkansas. What was that? 14?
And that was a 14-13, so you just barely got that one.
Barely got that, and honestly.
I don't remember whether you mentioned a score or not.
No. I think I did think Alabama might win more than a point, so. Honestly, the Tide, I'm not sure what's going on in Tuscaloosa. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Kiffin and different things. I think defenses are starting to maybe slow Amari Cooper down. And Bama, to this point, hadn't had a good answer so far. They looked really, really good against, you know, a pretty decent Florida defense. And then the last 2 weeks, of course, Ole Miss's defense is really, really solid, which is also part of my crow eating. Let me jump ahead to that. I mean, I really thought Ole Miss would have the problem that a lot of people have after playing Alabama, and that's coming back down to earth. They were traveling to College Station. I still think I probably had the Texas A&M South Carolina hangover, even though they had been beaten – or nearly beaten by Arkansas and then beaten by Mississippi State. But, I mean, Ole Miss just really put a whooping on Texas A&M. So that was one of the misses. But maybe none bigger, Jay, than what happened in Columbia, Missouri. I mean, Georgia, who – hadn't really looked that, you know, I mean, lost to South Carolina. And they go into Columbia, Missouri. They lose Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's got that problem with an agent signing some autographs, getting paid, whatever. So he's suspended. And I didn't even know that at the time I picked Missouri. And then, I mean, Georgia just, Jay, Missouri had less than 150 yards total offense. They just dominated them. And, I mean, 34 yeah. to the skunk. I mean, 20-0 for the Tigers of Missouri. So, I mean, yeah, that's about as big a miss as I've ever had. But then you had LSU upsetting, sort of an upset. I forget what the line was, but it was in Gainesville. I mean, that was really an entertaining. I watched that game. That was really a great game, Jay. I mean, between two okay. really – mediocre teams right now. I do think, and I know I've got some listeners out there that disagree with this, but I think LSU's got talent. I mean, it's young. So it's going to be interesting to see how good LSU is, you know, the last week of the season or the last weeks of the season. Now, There's not been any hint of any bad recruiting classes. I mean, I know, again, now, as I mentioned, you know, Coach Miles and them, they've lost a lot of juniors to the NFL draft. So, I mean, so they're playing a lot of young guys. But, that, you know, there's still some talent on that team. So we'll see. I mean, I think quarterbacks, obviously, they're the biggest spot that they've got to. But, you know, there's some problems on their offensive and defensive lines, and we all know in the SEC that's where you got to start to dominate is on the line of scrimmage. So, glad to see Vandy squeaked out a win against Charleston Southern. So, that's right. But hey, good for Vandy. Glad they got a win. Let's see. Tennessee beat Chattanooga. No surprise there. So, that's about, let's see, did I leave anybody out, Jay? I think that's, I pretty much covered it. Again, the Crow eating was Ole Miss. And, of course, I missed the LSU-Florida game, but it was a field goal. So, now, looking ahead to this week's games, yeah, Jay.
This week in the SEC.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got, yeah. Well, go right off the bat, we've got Auburn, Vandy, and Mississippi State are open. So you
those
know,
will be easy.
Those are wins right there, Jay. Mark it down. I won't eat crow on that.
Easy to predict that. Yeah.
But so you got the other games. You got Missouri traveling to Gainesville. Let's see if I can help Missouri out. I'm going to go ahead and pick Florida in that game to win.
All right.
I mean, after Missouri late. Now, I will say this, Jay, that Missouri does seem to play better on the road than they do at home.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, it is nutty. So, now you've got an interesting game to me is Georgia traveling to Arkansas. I think that game's actually maybe in Little Rock. But here's the thing. Which Georgia team is going to show up? The Georgia team that just lost to South Carolina, that didn't look, you know, I mean, really should have lost or could have lost to Tennessee, and or the Georgia team that looks like, you know, a national championship contender that goes in and just destroys Missouri. So Arkansas is playing a lot better. Now, I will tell you this. I would have felt a lot better about Arkansas if they had lost to Bama, but it would have been, say, you know, 31-24 kind of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think Arkansas's defense was as good, and I thought their offense would move the ball. Now, I'm impressed with the Tide's defense overall still. I mean, they're getting better, I think, each week. But, I mean, to hold Arkansas to 13 is still – now, they got a break or two. But anyway, Georgia at Arkansas. I'm going to go with the Dogs. I mean, Arkansas's riding a 15-game losing streak in the SEC. So it's what have you done for me lately? I'm going with Georgia.
Okay.
And another really interesting game, Kentucky, the upstart Wildcats. And all of a sudden, you know, this ain't your daddy, your granddaddy's Kentucky Wildcats team. Are they traveling to Baton Rouge? And I'm going with the hometown Tigers. I think LSU will find a way to beat Kentucky. I'm still not ready to predict Kentucky beating LSU. Maybe in basketball, Jay. Just don't sound feel right in football. So, going okay. with LSU in that one.
All right.
The other two big games, you've got Tennessee traveling to Ole Miss. You know, I've been hearing different things about where Tennessee should be. I think Tennessee's defense is much faster. Looks a lot better to me. Their offensive line maybe is, I mean, next to Vanderbilt's. I mean, Tennessee's performing pretty poorly in the offensive line, and I think that spells trouble against this Ole Miss defense. I mean, Worley could get sacked a whole lot. I think Tennessee's defense, though, I mean, Ole Miss, the only thing that I give, obviously, a slight edge Mississippi State over Ole Miss as the Mississippi schools go. I like Mississippi State's offense. Ole Miss offense, if Bo Wallace is hot, you know, they're okay. If not, but I still gotta go with the Rebels maybe by 17. And it may be a low. I mean, it may be a 24-7 kind of game.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if Tennessee – was able to move the ball, you know, successfully against that Rebel defense. And then, like I say, the big game in Tuscaloosa, I think Alabama wins. I think their defense, I think A&M's shown enough weakness or tendencies on their offense that Coach Saban and them will they'll slow A&M down. And I think A&M's defense is starting to show a few cracks like people thought they would before the South Carolina game. So, you know, I think the Tide rolls at least 14 at home. So, there's the SEC report. Let's just let's see how much crow. How much crow there is to eat out there, Jay, because that's that is freaking me out.
Well, let me try it again then.
Oh.
A lot of this time.
Oh, look at, oh God. That's,
that is a lot of crow.
Well, I'm not going to eat. I'm telling you what, I'm not eating that much crow, folks. Next week, we're going to pick them all right. I'm starting out with three opens right there.
There you go.
So, all right, Jay.
You can't miss on them.
And so, I hope you're right. Jay, want to finish up this week with a couple of shout-outs from me. We want to recognize Larry Brown. He's the father of a friend of mine who's been a listener, and Larry's been a little bit under the weather. Larry, want you to know that here at AU fans, we're thinking about you. War Eagle brother, hope you continue to feel better, and we're praying for you. Also, my niece, Catherine Sterrett, War Eagle darling. Woo-hoo. I know you're missing your brother down there on the plains, and we're thinking about you all the time too. So,
well, I want to mention Antonio at La Placita Restaurant, Mexican restaurant that's out on Hughes Road next to Gates Cleaners. I want to mention him and thank him for his support of AUFans.com.
Okay, great. And tell everybody, Jay, that when they get in there, when they go by, because we know you're going to go by and get some of that good Mexican food that Antonio's serving up, they just tell them what, Jay?
Yeah, you go in there and you find Antonio and you tell him that we sent you. Tell him AU Fans sent you. Tell him Stan Stevens sent you.
All right, Jay. Yeah. That's,
you might be surprised at what happens.
That's right. And
hopefully they won't kick him out. It'll be great.
I don't think so. But anyway.
All right. Hey, well, let me one more time remind people to subscribe if you haven't to this podcast by just putting your email address into the box at aufans.com. And if you want to receive an email that alerts you to the podcast every week, every time we do a podcast, then that'll happen if you just subscribe.
And don't forget, ask me a question. I got some questions last week.
Yeah, that was great.
I know I just mesmerized and stunned the audience. I didn't get any questions this week. So let's don't forget to do that. And next week, Joe, Jay, we will, or is it Joe?
well, yesterday it was Joe. And now it's a couple of days ago it was Joy. And now it's back to Jay.
Well, next week we're going to play South Carolina.
Woo!
And we're going to talk about them next week, see what we've got to do to get back on track.
I bet I can come up with a top 10 list on that one.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Hey, folks, you got to tune in next week to see what Jay's top 10 reasons we're going to beat the Gamecocks, because we've got to get back rolling, get this thing back to where we were last year, and see if we can get back to Atlanta.
Amen.
All right. War Eagle, Jay.
All right. War Eagle. We're headed out. We're going to listen to some Set for Life.
Wow.
Ready
okay.
For that?
Yes.
Here we go.
You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, with your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com, in association with Webb and Stevens Unlimited Media. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!